trivia, special guests, and you. Yes, it's the return of Theater Geeks Live to the Bristol Opera House, featuring everyone's favorite theater trivia game show, I Know, I Know.
No, I Don't I know, know. I know. Anyway.
Join the geeks, John, Dave, and Marcia, along with Quizmaster Rick Ellis and MC Kevin Agelski, live at the Bristol Opera House, Saturday, November 9th at 10 a.m. $10 admission includes your breakfast, followed by a three-episode taping of Theater Geeks, including our game show, where you just might win one of several fabulous prizes, or at least something funky out of the Opera House basement.
Oh my God, my mind just went totally blank.
Mark the date, November 9th, for Theater Geeks Live at the Bristol Opera House, Bristol, Indiana. All proceeds benefit Elkhart Civic Theater. Call 574-848-4116 weekday afternoons for tickets, or check elkhartcivictheater.org for details. Theater Geeks Live, November 9th, 10 a.m. at the Bristol Opera House. Don't miss it.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Today's topic is euphemistically called Taking a Chance on You, to quote the famous song. But the what we were considering this prior to our recording, that there's sort of an issue when you have someone auditioning who you don't know but auditions very well, shows a lot of promise, and they may be up for a part against someone that you do know that maybe doesn't audition quite as well, but you also are more comfortable working with, or you know that they can, you know, build on a part. And we've all had the experience of having someone who auditions well and then sort of flops when they finally get the, you know, that's it kind of thing.
Right, right.
So, you know, how do we make that kind of decision? It's really about the audition process and how you make those kinds of decisions. And we always want to bring in new people.
Yeah.
So, right. but then there's always, you know, how much do you risk, right?
Right.
Well, there's always the chance that if they are up for a good sized part and they audition very well, and you stick them in the back row of the chorus just so you can see how they do, they're never going to come back again.
Right.
So, you know, you may be taking a chance on losing a talent rather than, you know.
Well, I think you also have to kind of, you can do a little bit of legwork. Obviously, you don't have to cast someone while they're standing there. So you can do a little bit of legwork and find out, you know, how they've worked with other theaters,
well,
if they have experience.
We do that through our audition form itself by asking them to basically put a little bit of a resume on their form as to where they've worked and what roles they've played. That can sometimes help. And because at the same I may not have seen that show, but for example, Marcia sees everything. So I could say to Marcia, hey, Marcia, did you see such and such a show at South Bend Civic Theater? And she would go, well, I did. And I could say, well, what did you think of this person?
And then I would tell him.
And she would be honest. And it's like, you know, and so, and because we have a group of people that do that, there are ways for, you know, who go out and see lots of theater. We know people that we can contact and say, did you see this person perform? And that can be helpful for making that judgment. Especially if they're brand new to the theater.
Right.
Another way is just by talking with them. You know, I think engaging new people in conversation can kind of give you an idea also of just what kind of person they are, so you might know how they're going to fit into the group, and if they have a good sense of humor, and if they, you know, as they're talking to you, or and they're open and honest, and
that can becomes more important when the resume gets slimmer too. I mean, if they haven't done a lot, but you think you see something, then maybe it's a matter of, you know, talk with them and see, you know, what they're used to doing. I mean, of course, somebody with a small resume may not realize how much rehearsal time goes into a show, too. So that's something you kind of have to get clear too sometimes.
Why would having a small resume make them think that you?
Well, if they've
never
done a show before, I think we get
well, then
new
you're
people
saying in. If they have no resume.
Well, but yeah, I guess you're right. No resume.
You know,
yeah.
If you've done any show, you've got to know the rehearsal time that it takes.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. I think sometimes you just have to close your eyes and pick, you know. I really do.
Darts on a dartboard, huh?
Yeah, kind of. If you really, really feel that the person that you're not aware of their background or how well they'll do, but they just knock your socks off with their audition.
Yeah.
maybe you should just take a chance on that and go with it, and then just say if it doesn't work out, say, well, okay, won't do that again.
Right.
Well, you know.
Yeah, but except that you will do that again, and it works the next time.
I know, but you know, I was saying, John, before, we both know a lady that she's not with us anymore, but she was the world's worst auditioner. It was like, okay, this is English. You're not familiar with this language. But, oh, my Lord, give her a character part.
Right.
And she would just be amazing.
Right. Yeah.
But you don't know that unless you've worked through a couple of shows with her. So as John said, I think it's important to have access to people that may have worked with this person before.
Right.
If you never have.
That's right. It's like the dyslexic auditioner. They have trouble reading the script.
Oh,
But once they know the lines, they're in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of, but sometimes you don't know that.
The person, for example, like me at my last audition where I was wearing my contacts, and even with my glasses, I had to hold the script so far out that I was having a hard time reading it.
Welcome to my world.
I know. And it's like, my reading was off because I was just having a hard time even seeing the words. And that's just, you know, and as the director, if I was a first-time auditioner and they had never seen me perform before, they're going to think, is that what I'm going to get?
Okay, brings up another point. You're talking about reading it cold. How is it better to ask people to come in with a prepared 2-minute audition?
We don't do that here.
But I'm not saying whether it's good or bad.
I'm not going to say yes or no on that. I have seen where it works well and works poorly, and I've seen that in community theater and professional theater. So I don't know.
How does it work poorly?
When a person has trained and worked on that piece and that piece only,
and they can sing it
or perform it beautifully, and then they walk out on the stage and they have absolutely no other skill. Their skill is auditioning.
Yeah.
You know, they got the part. Hey, they got the part. And you were at least witness to that moment. It was, 1988.
Oh, my
Enchanted
Lord.
Hills Playhouse. A production of The Fantastics, and the girl playing the lead had auditioned beautifully. I saw her audition because I was in the same group with her when we were auditioning. She had a very nice voice, and in the audition, she could hit these notes because she had been trained into that song. And she goes to walk out on stage to sing, what is it? I can't think of the character's name, but it's this song that goes like
Louisa
into these really high notes. Uh-huh. She couldn't sing them. So we ended up putting a friend of ours
behind a curtain
to sing the notes because the girl couldn't hit them.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain or the girl behind the curtain. That's true.
And the sad thing is that the person who could hit the notes could have easily played the part too.
Yeah.
But she wasn't cast because she had been gone. She needed to be gone for a week, so they couldn't cast her in the role. But it's just the idea that, you know, that this girl auditioned wonderfully with prepared material and then walked out onto the stage for rehearsal, her first rehearsal, and it was obvious she couldn't do the work.
Okay, so maybe then the answer is to not do a prepared audition of something else, but to say, the scripts are available, you know, come up and check one out and put a deposit down so we make sure we get it back. Well, I mean, people forget, you know, and let them work on whatever character they want to audition for.
Right.
Well, and the other thing that you can do is with a lot of professional I'm talking from such little experience here that the professional auditions that I've been to, you may come to it with prepared material, but if you make it past that first cut, then they make you do cold reading and cold singing.
Sure.
And then they find out just what you can and can't do.
But you always have to, I know, you know, that Dee Dee, when she has an audition, it's something she has to learn before she goes in there.
Right.
Now, I don't know if she has to do it from memory or if she's just making herself really familiar with the material. I have a feeling she has to do it from memory. But, you know, that's what they want. But in our level of theater, I think the best thing is, as I said, make the scripts available. Tell people if they want to know what the character is supposed to be. I mean, they can
I think
ask
that
you.
It also brings up the point of making sure that people understand the requirements, and that is your audition notice. Now, we send out an email and explain, you know, who the characters are, at least the major ones, and, you know, what they have to do, whether it's an accent required, whether, you know, it's, you know, age range, you know, and a little bit about the person and the character and et cetera. And I think that as much as you can do there, sometimes that helps at least let people know whether they personally are right for the part or not. And so that helps guide them in terms of what they want to audition for.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say about being a director, though. Sometimes, you know, we talk about taking a risk on a new person.
Right.
And how you can find out a little bit more about how that new person might respond in the rehearsal process if they're cast is... As a director, I don't think we often play enough with the actor at the audition. Sometimes we don't. And meaning that, like, we may put them on stage and have them do a reading.
Yeah.
And then as a director, if we don't necessarily like that reading, but then we should be willing to say, okay, I want to see you do that again, but I want you to try this.
Right.
And if they're willing to play with you, and if they can give you something new and not the exact same character, then you might also realize that maybe that person is the person to take a chance on, even if I don't know them.
If you can establish that they can take direction and do something with it, that's really good. And we've had the experience. Can you do it a little bit more angrily, or, you know, for
is that a word?
Real stupid example,
no.
Angrily?
But
no,
you know, or can you show more anger in that line?
I'm just giving you a hard time
day.
But it's true.
It must be hard time day today.
And then
they give it exactly the same way the next time. You know where you're at.
You know where you're at. Even if that time that they gave it was really good, if they don't give it to you in a different way,
right?
Then, you know, then maybe you're not going to see something different in the rehearsal process, and you either have to then risk on the fact that you like what you saw and they gave you what you needed.
Yeah.
Or maybe we need to try and find somebody that's a more sure quantity.
Yeah, and you end up with people in a show sometimes who just that what their audition is what you're going to get.
What you
and
see
that's,
is that's what you get.
And sometimes that's okay
thing.
Because
sometimes
I mean,
it's okay if
because
that's
what
you
want.
What you want.
Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fine.
If you're doing a musical, it's a whole different thing.
In what way?
Well, because not only do they have to be able to act create a character.
Right.
They have to be able to do it vocally, and they have to most often be able to do it physically to know whether you can tell your left foot from your right foot, and can you keep a beat, you know, can you pick up a small dance instruction. And a lot of people who are really good actors, and then you put them to music, and it's like, ooh, not so good.
Yeah.
You know, just because they can act doesn't mean they can sing and dance.
That's right. Well,
and since we do a lot of since we do a lot of musicals, you know, and that's a big part of community theater's bread and butter. Everybody loves seeing musicals. You have to try and get people who can hit the notes.
Yeah. Well, that's true. When you get,
David.
I'm glad.
He has nothing.
I'm glad I agreed with you.
Yeah. You had to.
But it does sometimes come down to, and in community theater, we all run into this. Is where your casting choices are somewhat limited. You maybe have most of what you need after an audition, but there are maybe one or two folks that, you know, are kind of on the edge of being really able to put them on stage or not. And I have always been, and I think I've talked about it on this show before, is I've always had this rule, depending on the show, that I'll drag one person through the show if I think that there's enough there to work with and that they can really learn something. And I've been successful with some people with that. Some people who've gone on and really actually been pretty good and done a lot of shows and gotten better and better over time. And once in a while, it doesn't work. You just drag somebody through a show
and
all you've done is drag. But you are stupid as a director, or, you know, I don't know, stupid, but you're taking a lot of risk as a director if you start saying, okay, I got a 7-person show here, I'm going to drag 2 people through the show. That's a lot of drag, and percentage wise
Well, but you don't know if you're dragon. You just have to make that choice in your brain. You may find out that they're taking you somewhere.
Well, they for a ride.
Yeah, but you also have to feel like you're capable of dragging them.
That's right. That's true. You know, that's true. If it's small parts, it's easy to deal with. Yeah. You know, but if it's something you're thinking, okay, I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to put you in a key part, or you're doing a 7-person non-musical. You know, a lot of times that's ensemble. Everybody's important.
Yeah.
So you don't really have
unless you die in the first act.
Unless you die in the first act.
What do you this is just a something that flitted through my mind, but you know, as the artistic director for the theater, I often think how do we encourage and continue to encourage new people to audition and not lose your old people? And that's an extremely fine line, because you know, you have a chance to cast somebody new opposite a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
The veteran has been there. They've been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And you're afraid that if you don't cast them, you might lose them, because there are a lot of other community theaters that are
like,
going on.
This was the original topic for this episode.
And then here you've got the new person.
Well. Yeah.
And the new person might be able to do it. You don't know, but you know that you need to continue to bring new talent into your building if you're going to thrive.
And if their audition is slightly better or maybe a fair bit better than the seasoned person, you have a tough choice.
You know, in my brain, I do try to encourage the directors to think about new talent if I can. And, but it's very hard, because you want to make sure that, because it gets to a point also where audiences like to see some of the same people on stage. They know they're going to see a good performance. They know.
By the same token, they can get sick of seeing the same people.
What are you saying, Marcia? What are you saying?
Nothing, John. No, don't take it personally.
I did. So,
well, I mean, so it works both ways.
Yeah,
it does. You can't tell. It's a crap.
But I do. Encourage the directors. I encourage the directors to think about new talent. I encourage actors to risk.
Right.
What do you think about having, and I know you can do it for a musical, you can have dance class, especially if it's a show that has a lot of tap.
Yeah.
You can have, you can have voice classes. How do you do that for a straight show? If you want to see what people can do, and if they're really interested, maybe they'll come and participate in improv classes or something like that, so you can get
improv,
a feel for
improv
that.
Improv is a good possibility. You could run an improv class like ahead of every show.
Well,
if you're interested in audition,
or maybe just, and maybe that's a great idea. Maybe it's something more theaters should do, and I know we don't.
No,
so
we don't.
Would be to, you know, we talk about how do you know what new talent can do? Maybe it's because a lot of that new talent might be seen through classwork.
Yeah.
You know, so if we were doing more classes, maybe, you know, they may have never been on stage before, but they decide they want to get involved somehow, and so they're going to take the class first, and encourage people who are first timers to say, come on out to the class, take the class. This is how you're going to learn not about just the audition process, but maybe a little bit about the acting process, so that when you do walk up on stage for your first audition, that you're more likely to be considered for your first show.
And you'll only be minimally scared to death.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Marginally, minimally.
Yeah.
Marginally.
So, I mean, and so there are things that we can do as a theater.
Sure.
And as directors
that would be very helpful
for the, especially adult actors. Our kids get more classes than the adults do.
But, you know, and this is a little off the topic, but not much, because I've noticed in my many travels around to different theaters that what a lot of them are now offering or trying to put together are classes for adult actors, senior citizen actors, people that may want to be on the stage, but they've never really done it. And at their age, my age, you know, you feel, oh, I can't do that now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a whole nother area.
Mm-hmm. And it's a growing area.
Yeah,
it is. And I mean, there are things that you can do. And I mean, I think that would be a great topic. Like maybe I hear we're going to talk a little bit, folks, but maybe someday we could discuss, for example, senior theater.
Yep.
And maybe we could find somebody that could come in and talk with us about senior theater.
Right.
If there's anybody out there who does that in their theater, why don't you let us know? And maybe we could Skype you or phone you, and we'll find out a little bit more about that.
If there's anybody out there who does know about it, you can put a message on our contact form or you can email either any of us, Dave, John, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com. So we can, it's no,
because
no,
I know problem. There's, I know there's a number of theaters, a couple of theaters at least in the area, who are working specifically with senior actors and new senior actors and veteran senior actors, kind of in the same way.
You can't really require somebody come to a class before they audition, but you can strongly encourage it and say this is sort of the lead in, you know. But it would be kind of interesting for, I don't know, thinking out loud, say you're going to do a horror show, you know, like Dracula or something like that. Then maybe you have, you know, a class ahead of that that has
that
focuses on spooky kinds
how
of
to die
material
on stage.
Or yes, death, yes, die, yes, senior actors teach them how to die,
die
on stage.
Oh, that would be fun.
That's there's something right, somewhat morbid about that, isn't there?
But I think I don't think that they would have to come to the audition workshop. But I think that if you were offering an audition workshop prior to the actual audition process for a play or for, and even if you only do it once a year, say, you know, you at the beginning of the season, you offer an audition workshop. If for anybody who's seen what your season is and think they might be interested in auditioning for an upcoming show, have them come to the audition workshop. Because sometimes the reason why you get a bad audition for somebody is just because they're not comfortable with auditioning. Right. They haven't had a chance to relax. So, you know, I know that we did that last year for the youth theater musical, and we had, I think, 40 kids come to the audition workshop. Mm-hmm. And it was just a way of, you know, they didn't have to pay anything. It wasn't hey, pay $25 and come to this audition workshop. They just came to the audition workshop. They signed up. They came. They learned their audition piece for the show. They learned a little bit of the dance that they were going to learn, so that was kind of out, and they didn't have to worry about it. And then the directing team talked with them a little bit about the audition process and relaxing and relaxation techniques. And I don't think all of those kids came back to the audition. Maybe about half of them actually ended up coming to the audition. But the ones that did come back were much they were prepared, and they were much more relaxed.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so that would help with first timers, especially.
Oh.
But I agree with Marcia. I encourage all first timers. I encourage everybody. My scripts are available at the beginning of the season.
Sure.
Get out here. If you're interested in a script, get the script. Read it. Determine which character you think is best for you. Don't necessarily have to memorize it. But be familiar with
read
the character.
It over,
read it out loud to yourself at home or with your wife or husband or boyfriend or girlfriend or dog.
Online, if the script isn't available at your theater.
Your cat would be fine.
If the script isn't available at your theater, Amazon has, you can order most everything through Amazon or directly from Samuel French or one of the publishers that we work with.
Yeah, but there you have to buy it.
But that's right.
You do, but at least you're prepared. I have a lot of people who buy scripts in advance.
Scripts are very inexpensive for the most part.
Five to eight
after you're done, you've read something, you've enriched your brain.
Right. And a lot of scripts are available on e-reader now, too. I mean, if you have a phone that
has,
you can actually have them downloaded right to your device.
I don't think Kindle yet, but maybe they are on Kindle.
And I mean, we keep going back to this, but when you go to an audition, you really should be prepared. I mean, so many people come unprepared and they don't really know. Although an audition workshop would be helpful in preparing people, you can prepare yourself. You can, with YouTube anymore, you can do YouTube research, and not just on musicals. A lot of plays have scenes on YouTube now because people just post and post and post and post.
That's right. Not so, necessarily
so
something we recommend because
you can see what's good, bad.
It's not legal to post them.
You can listen to the CDs. You
can
hear
them.
Music.
What?
You
know? It's not legal to post them, but you can watch
It's
them.
Not.
Well, then, are all these people doing illegal things?
They're all doing illegal things, unfortunately.
I'm shocked. So,
but,
really shocked.
But still, I mean, and boy, do we always stray off the topic.
Yeah,
much.
We do.
But going back to it, I think a director should risk sometimes on
I think that's
the unknown.
That, getting back to the idea of, I think the actors, an actor, an auditioner, I never know, is it auditionee?
Auditioner.
Auditioner should be willing to take a risk and listen to the director if they ask you to try something different. Try something different.
Yeah.
You know, what's the worst thing that can happen to you? Probably nothing. You know, and so you'll find out that you know, even if you don't go all the way with it, at least it tells the director you're willing to take that chance.
Right.
And as far as the directors are concerned, I think that there's always, I don't care if you've got a seasoned person, there's a risk involved.
Sure.
Because the part may not click after a certain amount of time, or you may have a temperament problem, even with someone you think you know very well. It just depends. But it's also good to bring in new people, and it's important for all theaters. So that at some point you take a risk. risk.
You have
and
to.
You have to. So I think that that's good. So I'm going to risk annoying my cohorts here and ending this show unless you have something else to say.
I just want everybody to know, though, that when you type auditioner into Microsoft Word, it it still questions it with spell check. I just so
never heard of it, huh? There you go.
So what are the, what do you what should you type in?
Auditioner. You just have to tell
you
it it's
you can you can actually yes right well yeah you
spell
can,
check doesn't
you
always
can
get
fix your spell
right.
You can tell your spell check to quit doing that too.
Yeah, so really
that, right. So anyway, that pretty well wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. Remember that you can listen to Theater Geeks at the website, which is at theatergeeks.com, on iTunes, Stitcher On Demand Radio, TuneIn Radio, and of course at the Blueberry Network, spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y, Blueberry without the ease.com. Or you can use whatever favorite podcatcher you happen to use. And there are more and more all the time. And of course, there's new, I think what Stitcher is now in cars. And so is something called the TuneIn Network, as in cars, and we're on both of those.
Wow.
And
wow.
It's really very cool. Yeah, if you got a new car, you can actually have.
Oh, well,
know,
I'll run right out.
Listen to us on the. Yes, right.
New car. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and but listen safely. Pull over when you turn on Theater Geek.
Anyway. Pull over.
Oh, because it's so engrossing. It's you'll forget all about driving.
Also, be sure to stop by our online store where you can stock up on your geek gear, such as hats, cups, mugs, teddy bears, shirts, sweatshirts, and all sorts of imprinted items, including John's favorite.
I'm not going to say it because Marsha just gets mad at me.
I'm not going to say it.
What's your favorite, Marsha?
Mugs. Teddy bears.
Mugs and teddy bears. Okay, that's right. Great. Okay, so and nothing tastes better than coffee from a Theater Geeks mug.
That's
so,
for sure.
That's right.
I use it every day.
That's right. That's it from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marsha Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.